This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, presented by Hooters, second straight in-season sponsorship from my friends at Original Hooters, 12 Original Hooters locations in the greater Tampa Bay area. If you are outside the greater Tampa Bay area, in the state of Florida, around the United States, or around the world, I think you know what Hooters offers and how they treat you during football season. Let's hear more about Hooters right now.
At Hooters, you can watch the games with all your buddies. And when your buddies are the world-famous Hooters girls, there's always plenty of ice-cold beer and those craveable wings that'll knock your taste buds into next Tuesday. Hooters girls know plenty about football, but we really know the fans that live for it. So hang out with all your buddies all season long at Hooters, your official hangout for game day. And while you're there, enjoy Hooters' great game day eats. Join us for the Bucks Players Show every Monday night at 5 p.m. at Hooters on Hillsborough.
Thanks to my presenting sponsor in Hooters, we are halfway through this fantasy football season in terms of the regular season, maybe just past the halfway point for some of you. So I think I'll take this podcast just to talk about some things that we've already learned about fantasy football halfway through the season and just kind of go by position with some overall observations as it relates to 2018. We're having a record season in terms of points being scored and passing yards, especially being out there. And I think that's changed the game more than a little bit. Now, one of the things that I've argued against in the past was the elimination of PPR points. And I think based on some of the trends this season, even more so, that should go away in future years. If you are playing in a PPR league, I think you need to reassess that, and in 2019 probably should drop the PPR points. I think the trend in recent years going to half-point PPR has been moving in that direction, minimizing what would otherwise be something to balance out wide receiver points against rushing points. With the trends in the National Football League and more of the ball being in the air, PPR point leagues or PPR half point leagues just are unnecessary. And now they are giving too much weight to receptions. And again, I'll go back to my initial argument that you kind of want fantasy football to parallel at points, to parallel impactful points in a football game itself. So why should a reception that is made for no gain or a negative gain earn you any points? It shouldn't. And if you are in a yardage-based league, a reception for 10 yards is worth this should be worth the same point, 1 point in a standard scoring league, that a 10-yard rushing play is worth. And I'll get to another point about running backs and wide receivers coming up in a little bit. But especially in a year like this, you can actually lessen the amount of points that are out there by taking away those unnecessary PPR points because they just don't need to be there anymore. And if you've gone in recent years from a 1 point PPR to a half point PPR, basically, you've already been moving in that direction. Go ahead and take the next step next year and eliminate PPR altogether. Also, next year, eliminate mandatory tight ends altogether. This is something that I did in my foundation league going into 2015. The reason being, there simply weren't enough relevant tight ends at the position to give everyone the opportunity to have one all season long. And there have been a lot of complaints about that this year, really, once the bye weeks hit it, came into play. I know I've been receiving a lot of questions about I'm desperate for a tight end. Well, that's because your league didn't adjust. Next year, remember this and make tight end optional, not mandatory. Have no one position where you must play a tight end each week. That makes in your season-long draft it optional to take a tight end. It's optional to pick up a tight end. It's optional to start a tight end. If you don't want to deal with it all season, you don't have to. But at the same time, if you create a flex position of wide receiver slash tight end, and that is the only flex that I have in both of my leagues, the Foundation League and the Podcast League, it allows you to benefit from owning the right tight end or playing the right tight end at the right time. But there's no mandatory element to it. You're never like, well, I don't have a tight end. I got to get one. No, you don't. And you think about the best tight ends in fantasy football and perhaps in the NFL overall, and really three stand out: Gronk, Kelce, Ertz. Those three stand out. In most drafts, PPR or otherwise, it was Gronk, Kelce, Ertz, usually in that order, this year being selected. They've all been good. Think about where they line up. They don't line up as traditional tight ends. They line up as a wide receiver would line up. They're utilized as a wide receiver would be used. So the term tight end really, at some point, may go away. It's an unnecessary designation. We went through the designation with a Jimmy Graham contract a few years ago. He wanted to be paid as a wide receiver. There's another guy in his better years. He lines up more as a wide receiver than a tight end. So follow the trend. Get rid of the mandatory tight end position in your leagues starting next year and just add it to the flex position of wide receiver slash tight end. And if you flex a running back or a wide receiver, then add the tight end there as well. I just choose not to flex running backs in my league because I think just starting two running backs is enough. But that's my opinion, and some disagree, and I get that many like to have the flexibility, literally, to put in the extra running back, which brings me to my next point, though, that if you can flex a running back, and I would imagine in most leagues the flex position is either gives you the option to flex a running back. If you are flexing a running back in your league, unless you're blessed with riches of, I don't know, three of the top 10 or 12 running backs in the NFL on a weekly basis, if you're flexing a running back who does not catch passes, you are leaving points on the table where your opponent most likely has someone at that position who is catching passes, getting those yardage, getting those touchdowns. I mean, even more and more wide receivers are running jet sweeps for rushing touchdowns. If it's a handoff, it's a rushing touchdown. If it's a little tap pass, it's a forward pass, but still more and more. And even watching DeSean Jackson get in the end zone last week, early on for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, spotlights, even though he's out for the year, the Albert Wilson and how he was being used by Matt Nagy, spotlights what coaches are doing with wide receivers to get them in space, to get them the football. If you're flexing a traditional running back who doesn't catch a lot of passes out of the backfield, I don't know why you're doing that. Because there are just so many points out there in the passing game per se and the non-traditional running back game that I don't think you should be flexing the, quote, traditional running back unless you're blessed to have three of them that are all just putting up really good numbers for you, because the emphasis certainly this year is also on having those explosive players that put up big numbers in games and kind of cover for the fact. I think we've gone from an era where, having one position still in the daily game, obviously, if you have one position where you don't get anything, it's going to really hurt you. But even in the daily game, much like the season long game, if you have the explosive guy that puts up the big numbers, right? I mean, just think about it. So if you have the explosive guy that puts up, 30 to 40 points in a week, that's better. Let's say you have that guy, and then your other, say, wide receiver puts up two or three. You do the math on that, and they average both, 15? They both are averaging 15 to 20, even though there's a big disparity between the two of them. You'd rather have that than both guys just putting up 9 or 10 or 11. So having the explosive guys are very important, and most of those explosive guys now are in the passing game and at the quarterback position. We'll get to that. But back to running backs, and we talked about the emphasis on getting a big time or just getting an RB1 in your season-long drafts and how quickly they were going to go off the board. And for some of you, the RB1 you selected didn't work out for you. Le'Veon Bell owners, Leonard Fournette owners, Dalvin Cook owners, to a lesser extent, David Johnson owners, didn't work out for you. And where are you? It just sort of reemphasizes that getting a running back is such a priority because you may never be able to make it up. Even if you are fortunate enough to pick up a guy undrafted on waivers who was a few years ago it was Jordan Howard, a guy no one drafted, but then he got an opportunity to play and he put up some really good numbers, worth starting each week. Last year was Alvin Kamara, who was that player. Nobody drafted him, but if you were able to pick him up on waivers, he obviously paid huge dividends as the season went on. Right now, I mean, it's pretty simple. The line between 1 and 2 with the owner in your league who got Gurley is in good shape. The owner in your league who at number 2 likely took Le'Veon Bell, as long as your draft was before Bell made it pretty obvious he wasn't showing up, is huge. Same with the difference between David Johnson and Ezekiel Elliott. The common number 3/4 picks in most leagues, the third or fourth running backs, depending on where Antonio Brown went. So you see, and even Christian McCaffrey is an example. The rushing touchdowns aren't there, but McCaffrey never leaves the field, is catching so many balls out of the backfield and touching the ball so much that it still makes him an impactful RB1 on a regular basis. Again, getting those passing yards that we talked about in when you flex a player, especially, that's another opportunity for you to get those points. Don't leave them on the table by playing a traditional running back who doesn't catch passes out of the backfield. Also, the quarterback position now is becoming more of a priority, where you could have the zero quarterback draft theory, wait until all of your teammates draft their quarterbacks so you can load up on running backs and wide receivers and maybe get Gronk, Kelce, or Ertz, and then take a quarterback like Rivers, or then take a Ben Roethlisberger, or then take a Matt Stafford. There's more of a priority going into next season now on drafting the explosive quarterbacks. This was the argument made in recent years by owners who went ahead and jumped the gun and took Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady, and maybe to a lesser extent this year took Deshaun Watson, which is now paying off, and Russell Wilson, who hasn't paid off, or Drew Brees. I would say next year that waiting for all the other owners to draft quarterbacks is not a good idea unless you know who the next Patrick Mahomes is. Most owners out there who drafted Patrick Mahomes drafted him as their second quarterback. And I would say probably within a month knew that he was their top quarterback. And if they were blessed with riches of having Mahomes backing up one of those other guys I named, then the wise thing to do once you get through a bye week situation is trade the other guy because you have value, but it is sitting on your bench. So bring back that extra running back or that running back you need or some of those wide receiver points that are out there. But the value of quarterbacks, I think, is going up just because they impact the game more than ever. And you see these explosive numbers being put up by more than just two or three quarterbacks now. You're seeing it from more and more quarterbacks. And still in standard scoring leagues, as Jameis Winston has been proving the last couple of weeks with Tampa Bay, sloppy quarterback play doesn't impact you. It's a minimal penalty for these quarterbacks to turn the ball over based on the points they are ultimately putting up. Perhaps at some point there will be some changes to quarterback scoring beyond just what currently exists in standard scoring leagues, where in most leagues you get 1 point for every 25 yards passing for a quarterback and only 4 points for a touchdown passing as opposed to six if it is rushed in or caught and scored via the receiving route. Perhaps. And I mean, I've already done this in the Foundation League because we went to two quarterbacks and I wanted to lessen the impact of a quarterback scoring and not make it dominant. I went to 1 point for every 35 yards passing and even had an owner saying that's not enough. I also doubled the penalty for interceptions to two rather than one. And I've always had the pick six penalty because I've always believed that if a fantasy quarterback throws a touchdown for the other team, he should be penalized the same amount as if he is rewarded for throwing a touchdown for his own team. So those are some of my midseason observations with the increased scoring in the NFL and the fact that it's so heavily trending to passing yards with the way the game is being played. And that also might be reflective of where GMs and coaches are with finding traditional running backs. There might not just be that many of them anymore. Again, putting that emphasis on getting that RB1 early in your season-long draft, as most of you did last year. If you got Melvin Gordon, if you got Ezekiel Elliott, if you got Todd Gurley, if you got Alvin Kamara, Saquon Barkley, Christian McCaffrey, you're very happy. If you ended up with Le'Veon Bell prior to the news, Leonard Fournette, Dalvin Cook, you're not so happy. But there's some midseason observations about what really stands out to me about what we've dealt with in fantasy football so far this season. So file that away for next year as it relates to when you're putting your leagues together and putting together your draft strategy. And as it relates to, I keep emphasizing this, for your flex position, don't play the traditional running back hoping for rushing yards and rushing touchdowns. You know how there's the term touchdown dependent? Don't be rushing yard dependent. Get some of those passing yards because they're more prevalent out there than ever before at your flex position, and either flex a wide receiver or a tight end or flex a running back who is going to catch passes out of the backfield. James White is a fantastic example of that, where James White can have two rushes in a game for no yards and still be a relevant fantasy starter because of how much he is used as a pass catcher out of the backfield. He's a better example than, say, Chris Thompson, who might have been this the poster child for that a year ago. It also helps James White's on a Super Bowl contending team, although the Redskins are technically leading the NFC East, although Thompson has been hurt in recent weeks, might be back this week, impacting the status of the fantasy status of Adrian Peterson. Send me all your questions for the week about your starting lineup, who to roster, who to pick up, other bye week decisions, ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com, ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. Thank you for listening to this edition of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast presented by Hooters.